Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
Colossians 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Here ends the reading of God's holy and His inspired word. Amen. If our hearts are beating fast for those who are our guests, if our hearts are beating fast for those at school or work or in our neighborhood who are, as Paul would describe, outside the kingdom of God, it all starts with prayer. You and I cannot bring anybody in and of ourselves to faith in Jesus. That's the work of our Lord. But what our part can be is we pray and we pray and we pray for those that they would become part of the kingdom of God. Now, concern for our guests, therefore, begins with being people of prayer. It's helpful for me to have the perspective that everyone I meet, I can pray for, I can lift up, I could possibly be used in some small way to invite them into a closer walk with Jesus. Now, Paul in our passage has some challenges for us as we pray for our guests, as we pray for those outside of the kingdom. First of all, he calls us and invites us to pray persistently. Verse 2 again, please. Keep your electronic devices open or your Bibles open. We'll be going through phrase by phrase these verses. The first word Paul says to us is devote. The Greek word very literally means be very strong towards. Or to say it negatively, friends, Carl, Westview worshiper, don't be easily cast off in your prayers for others. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be persistent in prayer. Be determined in your prayers for them. Pray persistently. And secondly, pray alertly or watchfully. In verse 2 it says, being watchful. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was to die on the cross, carrying your sin and mine, and sins of the world, went back to his disciples and said, watch and pray. Be alert in your prayer life. Be awake in your prayers. Be persistent in your prayers. Be alert in your prayers for our guests, for those outside of the kingdom. And next, be thankful. Verse 2 again. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. The word in Greek sometimes is translated, be exuberant in your prayers for our guests, for those outside of the kingdom. Be overflowing with well-being towards them. It can mean outgoing, be exuberant, be thankful. And as we pray for them and with them, there's lots to be thankful for, isn't there? Because when we pray, we don't pray to a dead guy. We pray to the eternal God the Father, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to the ever-present Holy Spirit. And therefore, we can be thankful as we pray. We pray believing that our prayers go beyond the beams and the ceiling of our worship center. We pray being thankful because we believe our prayers go beyond the ceiling of our offices or the ceiling of our dining room and kitchen. And God knows our name. And we're promised that the Holy Spirit, sometimes our thoughts or our burdens or our joys, we can hardly put them to words. But Paul in Romans says, in those times the Holy Spirit takes the very groanings of our hearts and brings them to the throne of grace. God hears our prayers. He knows our names. He knows the deepest longings of our hearts. Paul says it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God would that every person be saved. When we're praying for and we're sharing our faith and we're seeking to welcome guests or welcoming those outside the kingdom, we're joining in God whose very nature is He desires that every created child will come to Him and find forgiveness in Him. Peter said it this way in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God desires that every single person repents and comes to faith in Jesus. So when we pray, we can pray exuberantly. We can pray thankfully. We can pray alertly. We can pray persistently. And fourthly, we can also pray, I'm going to use the term expectantly. Verse 3. Pray for us too that God will open the door for our message. Oh. Paul struggled with some of the same struggles I struggle with in sharing my faith. Pray that God will open the door. God will open minds. The sense I have is that, and this is maybe a little bit embellished on my part, is that often no matter what people, whatever topic they conversed with him about, he used it as getting his foot in the door to continue conversation with them. Oh, it was hot and humid this week. Thank the Lord for cooler weather this morning. You know, my physical health has taken a turn for the worse. We're going to pray for your physical health, but what about your spiritual health? Ah, there's so much out there in our world today. It's just hard to be trusting. There's so much I mistrust. Foot in the door. Put your trust and faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. He's worthy of your trust and He'll never let you down, Paul would say. The economic recession. Oh, Paul might say, true security, my friend, is in Jesus and Jesus alone. I'm concerned about the cost of food and feeding my family. God is the provider. Our family is grieving a loss. Paul would use it as a foot in the door to say, Jesus said He would send the Holy Spirit to comfort and give peace and walk with us even in the darkest of nights. Verse 3, Paul prays, we can pray, God, open the doors, open minds, open hearts to be receptive, Jesus, to the gospel. And further in verse 3, Paul prays this, pray that we will proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Paul struggled with the same struggles I have. Friends, how do we explain the mystery of the Christmas story. So people will believe and understand and come to faith. The virgin birth. And how do we logically and scientifically explain the mystery of Holy Week? Jesus was the sinless Son of God. He died on that cross and He shed His life's blood so that He became the sacrificial lamb. The sacrificial system from the Old Testament in which an innocent lamb's blood needed to be shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the people. He was sinless. He died on that cross. He shed His life blood to take our place, our punishment, our condemnation before God, so that we, when we ask God to forgive, we might be forgiven and reconciled unto God. And then He lay dead in the tomb. And Easter morning, the Holy Spirit breathed life into His dead body, and He rose again from the dead. How do we explain that mystery in logical, scientific terms so that people come to faith and trust in Jesus? So we pray, and we pray. And I believe it. I can't explain it. But I believe it. When the group I was with toured around Jerusalem, our guide said, "You see the police yellow tape around the back slope right over there? They think that's where the remains of King Herod will be. We think that's the tomb of King Herod." But the guide never ever said, "We think here they'll find the remains of Jesus." They never said that. Because I believe. I can't explain it. It's a mystery. I can't explain it. But I believe it. And I stake my life and my death and my eternity on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me explain what's a mystery and people to trust and believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Further, pray expectantly. Verse 4, Paul prays, "Pray that I will proclaim it clearly." Hope Paul struggled with some of the same struggles we struggle with. We can try to share, I can try to share my faith, but it feels like I'm stumbling over my words and it's clear as mud. So Paul prays, "Help me proclaim it clearly." Pray persistently. Pray alertly. Pray thankfully. Pray expectantly. True story. In our first congregation, especially in the winter months when folks were shut in, it was an opportunity for Amy and I, and usually myself, to visit with those in the nursing home. And I'm going to call her Grandma Van. Every time I went in to visit with Grandma Van and we discussed life and church and faith, and I would read scripture and she'd always say, "Pray for this grandson and that grandson." Now the one grandson just said, "I don't want anything to do with the church and I don't want anything to do with God." And he was never in serious trouble, but he was always kind of bumping trouble. And the other grandson that we prayed for by name, he was just kind of negative and thrumpy and grumpy, and he just said, "No to God, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I might go to your candlelight Christmas Eve services, but don't ask me to go to Easter services, and don't be discussing church at noon meal." Carl, pray for my two grandsons. I may not see them profess their faith in Jesus on this side of heaven, but I believe I will see them in heaven when their turn to pass away comes. Well, this was in the early 80s, our first congregation. 4 years ago, Amy and I had the opportunity to go back to our first congregation and preach there and lead in communion. And Amy and I were there about 45 minutes early, and we waited a few minutes. A car pulled up, and a gentleman and his wife got out. He had the keys to get us into the church. It was one of Grandma Van's grandsons we prayed every time by name. He's an elder of that church. Professed his faith in Christ. He unlocked the doors. He did the introduction. He did the call to worship. He did the church's prayer. And we asked him about his brother. His brother came to the point in his life of professing his faith in Jesus. He became a teacher, and then a teacher in one of the Christian schools in Detroit. And then he became the principal, and then he became the superintendent. Phenomenal ministry, having an impact for Jesus. Grandma Van taught me, never, never, never give up praying. Great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, workers in the nursery, children in worship ministry folks, VBS ministry folks, youth group leaders, never, never, never give up. Praying thankfully, alertly, expectantly, that God wants our neighbors, our family members, our co-workers, our fellow students. God truly desires. Now, we have a free will, and God's not going to be a bully to anyone. We have a free will, but God wants every single person to come to faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Concern for our guests. Which brings us next to our conduct with our guests. Verse 5 says it this way, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. One of the things we learn from Jesus is he was almost always moving out towards those who were outsiders. You'll remember the story that Jesus told of the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one was lost. He counted them again and again, and there was only 99. So what did the shepherd do? Coddle the 99? No. He went out towards the lost sheep. We also remember that the disciples in Luke 5, Peter and his fellow partners fishing, had been fishing all night. As the sun was rising, they took their nets out, they hung them up to dry, and Jesus came along and he said, Peter, let's push that boat out just a little bit. I'm going to use it for a platform and a pulpit. And he taught and shared, and then Jesus said, Peter and partners, go into the deep. Grab the nets again and go out into the deep. And Peter had to say, this is crazy. I've been fishing all my life, and it's daylight, and the fish are going to see the nets, and they're going to swim away as fast as they can. This is nuts. I'm the fisher person. Jesus hasn't got any experience. Why should I go in the deep? But Jesus said, go in the deep. Peter went into the deep, and their nets were full of fish. And Jesus said to Peter, from now on, I want you to not just fish for fish. I want you to fish for people, pointing them to me so that I might bring them into the kingdom. In our last congregation, Brookings, South Dakota, there were some good walleye fishing lakes to the north, to the northeast, northwest. And one of the members particularly was a good walleye fishing person. And if guests would come to us to worship, and they would inevitably ask the question, where's a good walleye lake? He never gave away that secret. But he would say to them, Well, you know the secret to catching walleyes? Go where the walleyes are. Ah, spiritual principle, isn't it? Go out to seek to bring in those who haven't accepted Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. Reaching out with wisdom. Reach out with wisdom. As people who, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but would appear to say no to God and no to Jesus and no to the church, if I just take the time and the effort to really listen and get to know them, often they have the same desires that I have, to be reasonably do well in our work, to have our family do well, for our kids and our grandkids to do well, to have reasonable financial resources. The big difference is that I have found forgiveness before God, and it would appear that they haven't. And when I really listen, some people I know that have so far appeared to say no to God have a lot of insecurity. Friends, how can I be mad when somebody is processing a lot of insecurity? Some of them have been deeply hurt, horrendously hurt, again and again and again by injustice or even abuse. How can I be mad at someone trying to process deep, deep hurt? How can I be cross? Some are very frightened and filled with fear. How can I be angry? How can I be cross as they process their fear? You love and you care and you empathize and you walk alongside. It takes great wisdom, doesn't it, to understand and get them to trust so that they open up and they share. It requires wisdom to know how to love the sinner, but hate the sin. That also takes wisdom, doesn't it? So we want to connect. We want to relate. We want to build trust. But sometimes their language, we have to say no. Sometimes their decisions on their behavior, we have to walk away. Sometimes in the name-calling and the judgments and how they put down people and ridicule people, we have to say, you know, I want to build a trust relationship, but this behavior, this language, this treatment of people, I have to walk away. And it takes great wisdom. Verse 5, the last part of the verse says, make the most of every opportunity. One of the opportunities that Amy and I have discovered in our neighborhood, it's a relatively new neighborhood, is the word must be out that I'm a pastor. Because the neighbor, I was mowing the lawn, it's half mowed, and he came over like a shot, and I could see he had something on his heart, and poured out family struggles. Right there, sitting on the grass, lawnmower right there. Prayed for him and his family. Another 6 houses up. Again, relationships. Again, was mowing the lawn. Now, in our neighborhood, usually the garage door goes down and never do we cross paths with others. So maybe it's mowing the lawn that they said, I get to talk to him and prayed for her marriage. Neighbor across the street, we had just celebrated that they were grandparents, and the very next day he comes and says, we, instead of going to take care of our daughter and grandbaby, we have to go to Northwest Iowa to plan the funeral of my wife's dad, and prayed for them right on the sidewalk. The next neighbor over, during COVID, brother dies of heart, prayed for him right on the sidewalk. A year later during COVID, another brother dies of heart, prayed for him and her right on the sidewalk. One time he came over, I think we were removing snow, he came over and he said, Carl, I fainted, went to the doctor, and the doctor started to examine and do tests of my heart. And the doctor just said that I could be days from the widowmaker. I have to go in for triple bypass surgery. Pray for him. Snow all around. Prayed for him right on the sidewalk. Carl, Westview worshiper, make the most of every opportunity. And then thirdly, conversation in verse 6. Let your conversation always be full of grace, love and empathy and compassion and concern. Let it be seasoned with salt. Friends, I've tried popcorn without salt. It's like medicine. Carl, Westview worshiper, let your conversations be seasoned like salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. How do we know? Pray, pray, pray. Ask God for wisdom. We respond with seasoned, gracious conversation, and then some applications. First one is name tags. True story. When I was a junior into senior in high school, feeling called into gospel, pastoral gospel ministry, and let people know that, a couple of the elders of the congregation confirmed that and blessed me in all of that. But in a conversation, my father, in talking about my going into ministry and on to seminary and into church ministry, he did say to the pastor, true story, how do I help my son Carl remember names? Now, I'm one that I go the extra mile to try to cover any perceived weakness or faults. Can you relate with that? To say it differently, because I'm pretty sporadic here, in and out, caring for other churches and other pastors, I love it when you wear name tags because it sure helps me. To say it even more positively, if you regularly wear a name tag, you are my friend for life. Let's go to the next one. Philip. Very little is known about Philip, but in John 1, as soon as he meets Jesus, he runs to get Nathanael, and Nathanael goes, I'm not sure about your Jesus stuff, your Jesus story, and he just said, come and see. I'm going to say that again and ask you to say it with me. Come and see. Come and see. Say it with me. Come and see. Ah, we all can say that. It's much easier for our Northwest Iowa grandkids, used to be with nursery or children's worship or VBS, if the cousins here said, come with me and see. And that's true for all of us generally, isn't it? Come with me to our small group, or come with me to worship, or come to the men's group, or come to the women's group. Come with me and see. Experience it for yourself. A guideline that we had in a past congregation was number 3, the 3-minute ministry with guests. Friends, we all come to visit with our friends. Huh? That's a part of worship and fellowship. We do. We're not taking that away. But with the leadership and the staff and the consistory or the ad board, we just had this general guideline. Please take at least 3 minutes every Sunday morning to meet somebody new. And one of the elders came with this devotional, let's open our eyes to our guests. I identify who the guests could possibly be. Introduce yourself. Inform them if they're looking around, maybe for the restroom or something else. And one of us at the cricket event, they will remain nameless, but one of us at the cricket event that Sunday afternoon twice said, Carl, I want to introduce you to some friends of mine. So helpful. I want to introduce you to some friends of mine. I commend and affirm their ministry and invite them back. I commend and affirm your welcome ministry. Folks do very well at welcoming people in. But one church seems to also have an exit ministry in which they seem to urge all their people to say, at least they've said to Amy and I, or they've said to me a number of times, we would love to see you back here next Sunday. Ah, we'll be back. And we'd love to see you worshiping with us as well. And then there's the discipling ministry. All our avenues or gateways for people to get involved, to get plugged in. Our small group is meeting this noon. Rich blessing to Amy and I. Our Seasoned Citizens is meeting this coming Wednesday, seeking to Meals for the Heartland. We want to have fellowship and we want to have fun, but we also want to serve this church family, serve this community, serve globally. Let's pray together. Lord God, we pray for those who are lost in their sin, and they've just not reached the point of asking you, God, to forgive them of their sin and guilt and shame. Please, 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 Lord God, move in their minds and their hearts and their lives and bring them to that point. We pray for those, Jesus, who haven't accepted you and trusted you as their Savior and their Lord. Bring them, please, to faith. Work in them. And Lord, we ask, move in our lives. Open the doors to our neighbor, to our guests, to fellow students, to co-workers, to family or extended family. Open the doors of their lives. Soften their hearts that they would respond in trust and faith and become a part, God, of your kingdom. Lord, hear our prayers for our missionaries, but teach us again today that there's a sense in which all of us are missionaries. So, Holy Spirit, please be with us, that by our prayers, our speech, our conduct, we might, Holy Spirit, be used by you as instruments to bring far more lost, God, into your kingdom. We need your empowering for that. Grant it, please, Lord God. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.